Again, it's good to see everyone here this morning, and we're glad that we are able to come together to worship God, and not only to worship God, but assembly to get together to partake of the communion, to commune with each other and with the Lord, and also to have a time of goodness together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus gave what we usually call the Great Commission. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." Now, the Great Commission basically has three or four different versions of it, depending on which one of the gospel accounts we're reading. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And, of course, in Luke, he talks about, tells them that you're going to go out after I ascend back to my Father. You're going to go and take this message to the whole world. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, just before Jesus ascended back to his Father, the disciples who had seen him throughout his 3 years of personal ministry, they had been with him. They'd seen his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. He had appeared to them. And Jesus, they came to Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and said, "Lord, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were still looking for an earthly kingdom. And Jesus said, "No, it's not for you to know the times, but God will reveal it to you in his time." But he says you'll go into the city of Jerusalem, and there you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Great Commission gives us the privilege and the honor to proclaim the gospel of Christ in our lives every day we live. We do it by word of mouth. We do it by the example that we set, by helping others who are in need. In all of those different ways, we proclaim the message of God and of Christ in doing so. And that's our responsibility. And yet, it is a privilege and an honor, but also a great responsibility. We're to teach those who are part of our family and our friends and our acquaintances as much as we are able to do, as we have the privilege and opportunity to do so. But also even sometimes strangers we run into, we have people that we can share the message of our Lord with them. And so when we do so, we are obeying the command of Jesus himself, to go and preach the gospel, go spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. The word gospel itself means the good news or the good tidings. And it's good because God, through Christ, gives us the privilege of eternal life. And so we might ask the question then, well, why do we preach the gospel? And the easy answer might be, well, because Jesus told us to do so. And that's true. And if there were no other reason why, that would be a sufficient reason to take the message of God through Christ to the world around us. But there are some reasons why, today we had to preach the gospel. Well, first of all, we preach the gospel because it is the good news of salvation for everyone. Now, if you go back and read the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, when the law was given, and you read through those things and the explanations of the law, that was given specifically to the Israelite people. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, "I gave this law to you at Mount Sinai," or to Mount Horeb, as it mentions there, same place. But he says, "I gave this to you. I did not give it to anyone else, but only to you, my chosen people." And so, they received the law of Moses, and it was not for everyone. But the gospel of Christ was promised in the law and in the prophets of the Old Testament not to be primarily for one group of people over another, but that all would be able to hear the message of the Lord. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, and to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So all the righteousness of God and all of his blessing is to be revealed through the gospel and the preaching of that message. And so we see then that all mankind is lost and dying in sin. Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all fall short. We all sin. We turn away from God. And what is required of us is to believe and to obey our Lord to receive his grace and mercy to be forgiven. But we can't know of that grace and mercy unless we're willing to preach the message and teach it to others around us, whether it's our family, friends, or whoever it may be. If we preach that and teach it, they also will have an opportunity, like us, to believe and obey the gospel. So all mankind is lost, and the gospel is the only means that God provided for our eternal salvation. And go over for a moment to the book of 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul was trying to get Timothy to understand he was going to have to take over for Paul in many of the works that Paul was doing, because he himself, as we find in chapter 4 of Timothy, was very close to the time of his own death, his own execution for the cause of Christ. And so he wanted to turn over that message and that work to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, he said, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In essence, that's the Great Commission in a nutshell. He says, you accept what I have told you, you believe it, you obey it, you teach others, and in turn they will teach others also. That's how the gospel was designed to be proclaimed and to be spread throughout the world. It was not some chosen few people and only they could do it, and they were specially chosen and exalted above everybody else. Every individual Christian is to take the message to others around them. Now, some may have more ability and more opportunity than others, but we take that message by our life, our example, by our teaching, and all of those things to others who are around us. And it is a privilege. So Paul told Timothy, what I have told you, what I've received from God, I've told you, you go and tell others and tell them to tell others also. And that's what the Great Commission is. That's what Jesus told us to do. And that's why we preach and teach the gospel of Christ. We also preach the gospel because it provides the words of eternal life. Think about that. Without the words of Jesus Christ, we would all be lost eternally. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible tells us there, if Christ had not been resurrected from the dead, our faith would be in vain, and we would still be lost in our sins. Now, we turn over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus is talking there, and he said, it is the Spirit who gives life, and flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, the words that Jesus was speaking to them, that's what gives the life and the spirit and the understanding that we receive from him. And so we speak the word because that's what gives us spirit and renewal because of the word of God, which the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And he says they are spirit and they are life. And so he gave those things to us to proclaim that others also may have spirit and life. We go on now to John chapter 6 there. And in John chapter 6 and verse 68, Jesus himself again, he says, to his disciples. He'd asked a question, verse 67, after he was having some difficult teaching, and many people were turning away, and they said, we can't understand this, and they turned away from Jesus. And he asked the question in verse 67 to his disciples, would you also go away? But verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so Jesus himself was the one that gives to us the words of eternal life. And it's through that message, the message which is spirit and life to you and me, that we receive the blessing and the understanding and a willingness to follow the things our Lord has commanded. Now we turn now over to John chapter 17. And in John 17, Jesus, this was the night before his betrayal, and he was praying to God. In fact, almost the whole 17th chapter is Jesus' prayer for himself and for his disciples and for what was going to be done. John 17 and verse 3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In other words, he says, through this word, everyone is going to know who you are, who I am, and that this word is going to bring eternal salvation to them. So without the preaching of the gospel, there can be no eternal salvation. God does not just go around and randomly choose one here and one there or whatever, and call, you're saved and others aren't. That's not the way it's done. He told us to take the message to those who are around us. And when we do that, we share with them what we have received if we are in Christ, forgiveness and eternal life. And the promise that, in a sense, as we look at it, the gates of heaven are opened up to you and me because we believe him and because we obey him. And we have the promise of eternal life. And we'll be able to spend eternity with God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit because they have promised that's what they're going to do for you and me. We also preach the gospel because God's ways always bring blessing to those who are living a godly life. Now that does not mean that we will never suffer persecution. It doesn't mean that we won't have to suffer on occasion, and it doesn't mean that sometimes we will simply have to endure the difficulties and problems of life around us. God never promised, if we belong to him and we serve him, that we'll always have everything just the way we want. In fact, in 1 Timothy, Paul told us there that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so we have to understand that. But those who are following the Lord and living in his wisdom and his way are blessed because we have the blessing of God promised to us. Now, turn over for a moment to the book of Psalms in Psalms chapter 1, the very first psalm, what David wrote there concerning wisdom of God and such. Psalms 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he doesn't take his advice from the ungodly who are around him. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you don't follow what the world teaches, the counsel of the ungodly, or the standing in the way of the sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. But he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, God knows our way. He revealed it to us in his word. And the Old Testament told those things to us and looked forward to the coming of Christ. In the New Testament, Christ has come, fulfilled God's plan by his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension back to the Father. And in doing so, he gives us the promise of eternal life. But we look around our world today, we see a world of selfishness and greed and evil desires and pride and all of the things that are going on around us. And maybe we just decide, well, we throw up our hands and just say, forget it, it's not worth it. But that's not what God wants us to do. We can live through the chaos and the ruin and everything else if we're going to follow Christ. He's promised he'll be there with us all the way. Turn over now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is one way that we overcome the problems and troubles of the world by serving God faithfully. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The Apostle Paul writing there, he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now we need to pray for the world around us. We need to pray for those who are doing evil. And whatever evil it is, we need to remember them in our prayers. Not just for those who are close to us and good to us, but for everyone. In fact, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to pray for our enemies. He says, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Well, we're to pray for the leaders of the nation and the state and the county and all those wherever we live, that they'll have wisdom to understand and to lead us in a way that's pleasing to God. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator, one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So he wants us to preach and teach and serve and pray for those who are around us that they will have wisdom to guide in a way pleasing to God. And we ought to always remember them in our prayers. And we can all realize that we individually can do better than we've done before. And that's part of the idea also. The more we believe and the more faith we receive and study and learn and put it into practice, the better we will be at doing these things. And of course, the better and kinder and more righteous lives we're going to live, because we submit to the will of God, and he is gracious and merciful, and he will forgive. We preach the gospel also of Jesus Christ in order to answer the false doctrines and teachings and ways of the world around us. You know, people in the world often are searching for the real truth and not the way that man has taken it and perverted it and added to it or taken away from it. We want the simple, basic truth which God has revealed. And we have to preach the gospel according as God has revealed it, not the way that man has added his ways or turned away from it or whatever it may be. People, again, are searching, and we need to be the ones to be willing to guide them. In 1 Peter, we're told to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. Now, that doesn't mean we have to answer every possible question that ever comes up. But sometimes there's questions that we as human beings just cannot answer. But the idea is to understand what we believe and why we believe it and why we're willing to obey the gospel, to give that message to others. Now, we turn over to the short book of 2 John, 2 John 9. John writing there, and in that particular passage, he's talking about our faithfulness to God. 2 John 9, he says, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Consider what a profound statement that is. Whoever transgresses, that means to go beyond the boundary that God has set. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. God sets the bound by his teaching, by his doctrine. He says, If we go beyond that and the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. If we don't have God the Father, we can't have Christ the Son. We cannot be directed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and have the blessing that He gives to us. We can't have any of those things. He says, whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So you cannot have one without the other. It's not possible. And then verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now the idea there is not that we can't bring people into our house, but do not bring them in to agree with their evil teaching and their wrong teaching. And then as they're going out, we pat them on the back and wish them well in their evil teachings and the things they have perverted from the will of God. We don't do that, but we try to teach them the right way and remain faithful to God no matter what anybody else around us is doing. So we preach the gospel of Christ for that purpose, to lead people to God's way so they won't turn away from it. They will be faithful. And we, like us, if we're faithful, are going to receive a crown of life, which God has promised to us. We also preach the gospel because the Lord Jesus is our hope. I hear a lot about hope here and there, hope for something that may be done, or maybe I'll win $1 million in the lottery, or all kinds of things people talk about hoping for. But this is a hope that is set upon a firm foundation, a proof by the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, by God's solid promise. If we believe Him and we obey Him, we are going to have eternal life. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Again, the Apostle Paul writing there. Ephesians 2, and if you go back to verse 8, he says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, as the one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God before prepared, that we should walk in them. Then verse 11, he says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about that. Before we come into Christ, before those people did, they had no hope. They were without God in the world. But if we come into Christ, we become a part of Him. Now, if you read on in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells how Jesus Christ, by His death and resurrection, broke down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. No longer was there one law for Jew and one law for Gentile, but all were brought to the same Lord in Christ. Well, we look to Jesus as our Savior, our friend, our Lord, the one who has given us the privilege of eternal life. If we will believe in, we will follow, and we will obey. So we have to preach the gospel of Christ. We have to teach it, again, by not just by word of mouth. That's a very important way to do it. But also we have to be willing to back it up in our actions and our help for others and our guidance for others as best we can. So we preach and teach the gospel message every day we live, by the way that we live. And others can see if we say one thing and do something else. They see the difference between the two. At the very first verse of the book of Acts, the writer there, Luke, says he began to talk about the things Jesus began both to do and to teach. So what Jesus did, He taught. What He taught, He did. There is no difference between the two. And we need to do the same. And we need to pray that God will bless our efforts. Turn now back to Matthew chapter 9 just for a moment. Matthew chapter 9, and then we read there from verse 37. Jesus speaking to His disciples. It says, then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. In Christ, we are the laborers for the Lord. Why do we want more to come to us to be with the Lord? That we can have more workers together. That we can encourage and strengthen each other along the way. That we can teach others, as Paul told Timothy, to find somebody else and teach them. And tell them to go and teach others also. That's what God wants of you and me. But first we have to be willing to believe him and to obey him. The Great Commission, Jesus said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, by their command and by their authority, that's what we do. And when we do that, he says, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that disbelieve shall be condemned. And so we have the opportunity to follow what the Lord has commanded. But we have to be willing to take that into our life, our mind, and our heart. And if we do, by the grace of God, we're going to be given eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it's open every day we live. But if you need to come at this time, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.